It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Good news, bad news, the Devils win. The bad news is this coach in Little League Baseball is dangerous work.
Well, it both things are true. Both things are true. As I'm in dangerous territory, something I learned back when I was actually in a room of Patriots fans when the Giants pulled out a certain victory a number of years back, I don't want to poke the bear. So I'm just going to go, yay, over here. Although, that, man, I understand that pain of like, but we did so good. I've been there. I feel very much for the Bruins fans. the baseball thing's on me. You know, it was really... The funniest thing is it all happened. So, folks, just FYI, I was in a batting cage throwing my first practice ever as a Little League coach. And I was a pitcher, you know, back in the day when I was young and beautiful. And so I'm like, no, I got this, I can throw. But, of course, my concern is don't hit the kid. And I didn't. Didn't hit the kid. I also, in, you know, trying to be a coach, was, you know, watching the form, you know, looking. Didn't think you could probably watch their form from behind this safety netting. Yeah. So, yeah. The good news is, as both my son and wife quickly noted, it actually just reopened an old scar on my forehead that I had from when I was 4 years old. So, ultimately, I'm coming away relatively scotch-free.
Was this a batted ball that you caught in the eye?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. The full story is, oh, God, so stupid. It was coach's son rolls in. All of a sudden, he's a lefty. He's my first, you know, lefty of the batting practice. I'm like, oh, lefty, yeah. Cool, let's see what you got. And so I stepped sort of too far away from that safety netting, again, so that I, you know, didn't hit the kid. Like, I'm like, all right. I just need full view. And, yeah, anyway, whatever. It's like a stove, you know. You're never going to touch a hot one again.
Do you think he was coming for you? Do you think he said, I'm putting this one right up the box to break this guy in?
Part of me does. Only, I say that, you know, jokingly, in case Cam is listening. He's a spunky little kid, and you know, part of me is like, yeah, maybe the coach said, "Hey, test this guy out.
Right?
Let's see what he's made of." I did freak everybody out though, because everybody's like, "Why are you acting so normal?" I'm like, "I played hockey. It's like a flesh wound." I literally went home. God, I'm never going to talk about wine today. I went home. Christine tried to, like, butterfly stitch me up. So I went upstairs. I looked at it. I said, Eric, you know, my son, come upstairs. I said, I want you to go get the Gorilla Glue, and I don't want you to tell Mom. The rest is history.
That is fantastic. That's the best part of the story.
It is. It's like, listen, it's the glad, don't tell Mom. We're moving on.
That's fantastic. Wow. Like, as if you weren't my hero before, you are elevated now to a special pantheon.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, you know, you gotta show the kids, just tough it out. The worst I feel is, like, for the kid who hit me, because he felt horrible. I mean, let's be honest, I was wearing a white t-shirt and I'm a bleeder.
Oof.
So, it looked a lot worse than it felt. Like, I'm sitting there laughing probably like a madman. Anyway, all right, folks, let's talk about wine.
Let's do it. By the way, thank you for getting back in. I think it's my favorite red wine, Folk Machine. It is so good.
Yeah, it is so good. That is made by, he's a really cool guy. He's of Thai descent, and he's a California surfer guy. Like, he I don't know what the type you'd think would make wine is, but he is such a super cool guy. And I love his wine, so cool. I'm glad you like that. So this is the month we're sort of talking. We're starting to talk. We're getting ready for what happens in June and the rest of the year, which is we kind of try to circle the world and talk about where the stuff that's in your glass is coming from. And I'm actually very excited because this year we're actually going to not have an opportunity, but really have a must, including the wine regions of Eastern Europe, because for years I've been like, well, someday people will get in there and start bringing out wine. And it is happening in droves now, and it's really interesting. It's fascinating. It's jaw-dislocating because some of these grape varietals, they don't fit so easily into the Western mouth, but I will do my best. So now this month is when I sort of talk about how to prepare for all of that, getting used to where wine comes from, the terms I'm going to be flinging around. And the first one we start with is appellation, right? And so this is a real easy one. It's been fun. Actually, my daughter is learning French. She's doing all this Duolingo stuff. And she was talking about how she was learning the verb appeler, right, which is to call something. And this is where we get the verb appellation. So when I say in French, my name is Eric. I don't say my name is Eric. I say I call myself, or I am called Eric. Je m'appelle Eric. So this is my whole body, everything you see, this haggard, almost 45-year-old decrepit thing with a scar above my eye, a fresh one, this is Eric. So when we're describing where wine comes from, describing a specific thing, a distinct place, very often delimited in sort of a herky-jerky fashion around, not necessarily where the town lines are or the city line or whatever, but around where the good vineyards in that region are. So that when you see a bottle of wine with an appellation, that is to say, Champagne, Burgundy, Napa, Mendoza, the Burros Valley, you name it, wherever around, that those grapes were grown, and every appellation has different rules how, if it needs to be 100% of those grapes, or maybe it is 75% of those grapes, whatever, in that particular delimited region. And why is that important? This is the concept of terroir, and this is another term that you hear me throw around, but the idea that no agricultural product, it doesn't have to be a grape, we can talk about barley, we can talk about hops, we could talk about grapes, we can talk about olives, we could talk about cows that are grazing off the grass in a specific place, therefore their milk is going to be influenced by what they're eating. The idea that wherever this is nowhere else, right? A thing grown here will be distinctly different than a thing grown over there. And over there might be the next valley. It might be the next hemisphere. Again, people are like, well, I love Shiraz, so I should maybe like French Syrah, which is in theory the same. No, not necessarily. It's going to be completely different. And not just Australian Shiraz, but Shiraz from this place versus this place versus this place versus something from New Zealand, which you'd think, well, those are probably similar. No, not at all. New Zealand is like a cold climate area and is growing Syrah, probably actually more akin to things you'd find in the Rhone or elsewhere. So the concept that nothing is grown that is not affected by the rain, the sun. I think about, even right now, and this is terrible to think about, but it's very accurate, right now in basically the entire sort of southern French coast and into Spain, again, unfortunately, they're suffering massive drought. Now, normally you'd think, okay, vines will just plunge their roots deeper and find the water table. And that's pretty hard these days because the sun is just ungodly hot. I think, what did I read? Somewhere in Catalonia, it reached like 101 degrees now. That's July temperatures. So the things that are affecting those grapes there are distinctly different than how they're, affecting other grapes in other parts of the world. So this is the concept of when we're going through where grapes are grown, where wines are made, why they're so different, why they're so vastly different in price, as well as flavor. So that's kind of where we're going to be going. So but understand that this all goes back to this, and a lot of things do. A lot of French terms are sort of the language of wine. This word appellation is basically saying this distinct wine from this distinct area, and they all have slightly different rules. Some have very few. Some have rules that include one grape and a certain amount of time in barrel and then a certain amount of time in bottle. It's all over the place. And again, we'll go through that as we go through the summer and fall into the new year, which is horrifying to even think about. So that's kind of just a overall view of where we're going. But it's fascinating, and we'll get into sort of why the American consumer has no idea about wine compared to the rest of the world, stuff like that. We'll run through that next week. I'm sure I'm out of time. Yes, Carrie?
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right, everybody take care of each other. I'll talk to you next week, and we'll talk about the American consumer.
All right, you be safe out there. Keep your head down.
Rock and roll. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle, Tuesday afternoons, right here on Downtown.